Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
It did not take very long into the history of the human family before murder was committed. We shouldn't be surprised, I suppose, at the large number of murders that we have in our society today. It is increasing, it seems to me. I read statistics and sometimes they go up and sometimes they go down, and sometimes this city had an increase and then a decrease. But in general, I know that in the area where I live, there's a whole lot more of that than there was 20 years ago or so, 25 years ago or so. I remember it's been about 20 years or so ago now, when I went to visit some relatives of mine in another state up in the northeast part of our country. And I remember how shocked I was, I guess that's the right word, how surprised I was to see how many murders and violent crimes were reported in the paper every day. I wasn't used to seeing that in our paper every day. In where I live, in North Carolina, at that time, a murder, a rape, something like that, would happen, maybe 3 or 4 times a year in our community, but was not an everyday occurrence. And here I went off to my relative's area, and I'm not talking about big city now. I'm not talking about New York City or Philadelphia or something like that. I'm talking about an area that population-wise was similar in size to where I lived, but it seemed like while I was there, I was over there for a period of a week or so, every day, pick up the local paper and a local crime. And I thought, boy, I'm glad I don't live here. I'm glad it's not like that here. But you know what? In 20 years' time, it is like that here. We have the same problem they had. It happens just about every day. But we shouldn't be all that surprised, because go clear back to the beginning. Adam and Eve, created perfect in the garden. Now they sinned, as we know. They disobeyed God. They ate of the tree that they weren't supposed to eat of. That was sin. That was serious sin. Any sin against God is serious sin. And that first sin was exceedingly serious because, of course, it plunged the whole human race into sin. And it changed their nature, and it changed it changed the whole human race. When they had children, they were born as sinners, not as people who were innocent and righteous and living out their creation according to the image of God. But still, it's rather shocking to consider that the first two sons of Adam and Eve quarreled, and Cain killed Abel. Killed him. Murder. I mean, the first two sons of parents who were not born into this world, but created by the direct act of God, and had known God intimately and had communion with God. And we're not surprised when we see the human race gradually decline, and get more wicked, and eventually God deals with it severely with the flood, as you know. But the very first generation, the first ones who were born rather than created, are so sinful that they commit murder? Yep. Cain killed Abel. He was angry. Remember, watch that anger. Excessive anger. Sinful anger, giving place to the devil. He was jealous. You think jealousy is not a serious sin? Envy, not a serious sin? That leads to things like murder. And when God asked Cain concerning Abel's whereabouts, Cain replied, "Am I my brother's keeper?" A sullen, sinful response. Because, you see, sin resists accountability. Sin resists responsibility for others. Sin has this proud, arrogant, independent idea. I'm not responsible for other people. I'm just responsible for me. We can see that in today's so-called new morality, which is really the old immorality. As long as two consenting adults do it, then it's all right. It's nobody else's business. But don't you understand that sin does have consequences, and you do have a responsibility to that other person. Even if they consent to a sinful deed, you should not participate in it with them. And when you do, you have become responsible not only for your own sin, but you have a certain area of liability for theirs. You encouraged them to sin. You participated in their sin. You have a responsibility to them. The answer to God is, yes, you are your brother's keeper. But the answer of sin is, I'm not responsible for myself. They're responsible for their decisions. I'm only responsible for my own. No, you can't isolate yourself that way. As somebody said, no man is an island. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches. We are our brother's keeper. And grace teaches us to take that responsibility. And so we come to the next to the last paragraph, the fourth paragraph in our church covenant. And it says, we further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love. And that's where we're camping today. Just that first phrase, we engage to watch over one another in brotherly love. That's a promise. That's a commitment. But it is a biblical requirement. There's more to Christianity than a private profession of faith. There's more to Christianity even than attending church. There is a public profession of faith and a public commitment to edify, help, care for one another in the body of Christ. And if you're not doing that, then you're not doing what the Bible requires. What does the writer of Hebrews say in chapter 10, verse 24? And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day of judgment, the day of Christ's return approaching. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, most Christians who've been to church much at all have heard that, and they recognize that there is a God-given responsibility to attend church, not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But if you ask the average Christian, why are we supposed to attend church? What is your obligation to attend church? What is the reason for this responsibility? Most would say, because I need to hear the Word of God. I need to attend church so that I will be helped. But the verse that talks about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together talks about our responsibility to others. It's not that I should attend church in order to be helped. It is I must attend church in order to minister to others. Did you catch that? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Exhorting one another. That's our main responsibility in not forsaking the assembly of the saints. It's because we have responsibility to our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. We are our brother's keeper. And we can't do that if we're not there. We can't consider one another if we're not there. We can't stir up others to love and good works if we're not there to do it. We can't exhort one another if we're not there. It requires habitual attendance for the purpose of building relationships and ministering to one another. Yes, the preacher or preachers will publicly exhort the assembly of the saints, and that's designed by God, and that's needed. We must do that. We must attend and listen and learn. But there's more than that. If you slip in at the last minute and rush out at the last amen and never talk to anybody, never interact with anybody, never build any relationships, never encourage anybody, never minister to anybody, you're not really fulfilling the requirement of not forsaking the assembling of yourself together. You said, but I was there. I go there faithfully. I know people who have attended church faithfully for years, but have not yet begun to fulfill the reason why they're supposed to be there. Let us consider one another in order to stir up to love and good works. You don't hang around long enough to do that. You don't have any personal relationships from which you can do that. You don't plan to build those kind of relationships. You don't want that kind of responsibility. You don't want that accountability. You just want to be able to say, I was there. I put in my time. And you may have a genuine interest in the Word of God. I go so that I can be fed, so that I can be built up, so that I can be helped, so that I won't backslide, so that I will live a successful life. Well, that's where it begins, but that's not where it ends. You haven't begun to fulfill your assembling responsibility until you realize that you're supposed to be there not just to sit in the service and hear the sermon and even enter into the singing of the praises and to lift your heart heavenward in prayer, but you're supposed to be there before the service begins, and you're supposed to be there after the service begins, and you're supposed to have relationships with other members of the body throughout the week on other days than the Lord's Day, because you have a responsibility to consider one another, to stir up to love and to good works. You have a responsibility to exhort others. Don't be like Cain. You say, oh, I would never murder anybody. Well, I surely hope not. But don't be like Cain. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. By the appointment of God. You can't avoid that responsibility without sinning. To fail to do what God tells us to do is sin. You can't cast off that responsibility. You have a responsibility to others that can only be fulfilled in the context of local church relationships. And that's what the not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together is all about. It is, we further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, in the words of the church covenant. And so we endeavor to advance the cause of Christ's kingdom by participating in, by strengthening the particular church that God has led us to become a member of. That's what we are to do. We have duties that relate to other believers that can only be carried out in the vortex of the local church. And the church is a complex structure of interdependent and subordinate elements. And we have a part to play. And we engage to watch over one another in brotherly love. One another. Each other. Each of two or more in reciprocal action and relationship to one another. That's what God requires. That's what the church covenant recognizes. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.